Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thanks for tuning in. An empty lot that once housed the demolished Elks Hall building in downtown Juneau is getting a new life this summer. Last week, the Juneau Planning Commission unanimously agreed to allow David McCausland of Deccan Dave's, a fish taco stand, to use the site to expand his seasonal outdoor food court on Franklin Street. McCausland said he hopes to open the expanded food court by May. All the staple restaurants from last year will be there, along with new food trucks like Pucker Wilson's and Southeast Goldmine Gourmet Popcorn.
I'm basically doing exactly what I've been doing before for the last not quite a decade. It's my ninth year in business, but it's now just a little bit bigger.
McCausland bought the historic Elks Hall building last fall with the hopes of restoring it to build housing. The building was constructed in 1908 and hosted the first Alaska Territorial Legislature in 1913. But McCausland said that after buying it, he soon found it wasn't financially feasible to salvage it and tore it down. At the meeting, he told commissioners he still wants to turn some of the land into housing later down the line.
Right now, I'm like as broke as could be, so right now I'm just trying to make it. But yeah, long-term plan is to build housing.
Planning Commissioner Chair Mandy Cole said she's excited about the food court project.
I am grateful that there's a business owner in this community who is willing to work with that site and make this area usable and lovely for the people of Juneau and for those who visit it. And I think it's high time, and I'm pretty excited to eat a taco there.
McCausland said he also hopes to keep the food court open for more of the year. In the past, it only operated in the summertime. He says he wants to keep it open during the spring, summer, and fall seasons this year, and eventually, maybe year-round. And a formal process began this week in Anchorage to document Native boarding school abuse. The project is part of the U.S. Interior Department's Federal Boarding School Initiative. The National Native Boarding School Healing Coalition will conduct 3 days of interviews. Though the testimony will be given in private, it will become a permanent part of a national oral history collection. In many cases, children across the state were forcibly taken away from their families and sent hundreds of miles away to boarding schools, where they faced physical and sexual abuse. Boarding school survivors have also said they were beaten when they spoke in their native language. The session began with opening ceremonies yesterday afternoon at the Alaska Native Heritage Center. And a Superior Court ruling has found a key benefit to families who choose certain types of homeschool violates the state constitution. The ruling has to do with correspondence school allotments. Those are cash payments to families of homeschool children meant to reimburse the cost of things like textbooks, services, and even private school classes. Alaska Public Media's state government reporter Eric Stone joined Alaska News Nightly host Casey Grove to talk through the implications.
All right, so what does this ruling actually say?
Okay, so the ruling recaps the case so far and the laws at issue. So in January 2023, four parents of school-aged children sued. They're challenging the constitutionality of a 2014 law that, quote, authorizes school districts with correspondence programs to provide an annual student allotment to a parent or guardian of a student enrolled in the correspondence study program for the purpose of meeting instructional expenses for the student. So the law allows families to purchase, quote, non-sectarian services and materials from public sources like school districts, as well as private or religious organizations. The purchases have to be approved by the school district and abide by state standards, including by coming up with an individual learning plan. The allotments can be up to $4,500 per student per school year. Judge Adolf Zeman found that system unconstitutional. He found that it violates Article 7 of the Alaska Constitution. That says, in part, quote, no money shall be paid from public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or private educational institution, end quote. So basically, the allotments are paid to parents, some of whom spend them on private school courses, and that's unconstitutional, according to the ruling. And the judge didn't just invalidate spending on private or religious schools. He found there was no way to narrow the law enough to be constitutional and tossed out the whole correspondence school allotment system. So spending on textbooks, public school courses, activities, all of that is now invalidated. And the judge basically wrote, if the legislature thinks these expenditures are necessary, then it's up to them to write a law to make that happen.
Okay, so how did this system come about?
So basically, the allotment system is an effort to give students and families more choices over their education. In the ruling, Zeman reaches back to the legislative debate that began just over 11 years ago in 2013. Mike Dunleavy, the governor now, then a senator, he sponsored the bill and he pitched it to lawmakers alongside a constitutional amendment, appearing to acknowledge that the Alaska Constitution doesn't allow public money to be spent on private school classes. Let's take a listen to that.
A parent could decide, I want my child to take a Latin course at Monroe Catholic. the teacher could agree to that in the ILP. Currently, we cannot do that under the state of under the current constitutional language.
So that's Dunleavy in his initial presentation of Senate Bill 100, and that was later incorporated into House Bill 278, a big omnibus bill that passed out in 2014. Of course, correspondence learning and homeschool have a very long history in Alaska. Prior to 2014, Lon Garrison of the Association of Alaska School Boards told me that correspondence students would learn from curriculum that was provided by their local district or a statewide homeschool program, but that changed with the allotment program. Let's take a listen.
And it gave that opportunity for parents to really kind of determine what they wanted in terms of curricular material and instructional materials.
But that changed over time, said Scott Kendall. He's an attorney representing the plaintiffs. Around 2020, 2021, he said, private schools began promoting the idea of dual enrollment, basically using the allotments for private school tuition.
In fact, you would enroll in a private school and they would enroll you in the correspondence program, and you would basically just submit your tuition bills as though those were, in fact, expenses related to correspondence school or homeschooling, and then you'd get paid back.
Jody Taylor, the wife of Alaska Attorney General Treg Taylor, wrote an op-ed in the Anchorage Daily News detailing exactly how parents could use the correspondence school program to pay for private school tuition, and she used a private Catholic elementary school as an example. Proponents, including Jody Taylor in her op-ed, say the system gives families the choice to pursue the education they want for their children. Attorney Kirby West of the Institute for Justice, which argued in favor of the allotment program, says parents use their allotments for all manner of things.
Online courses through public universities is a really common one to either, supplement homeschooling curriculum or to just, standalone, in enrollment in college courses from public universities. Many parents do use the allotment for tuition at private schools.
And her clients actually use it for tuition at a Catholic school, she said.
Well, what are people saying about the ruling now?
So unsurprisingly, the plaintiffs say the judge's ruling is sound. The judge actually went further than Kendall asked. Basically, he asked them to invalidate spending on private or religious schools, and the judge said there's no way to make the rest of the law constitutional. So that's, he tossed out the whole program. Meanwhile, Attorney General Treg Taylor says the ruling is flawed. Let's hear from Treg Taylor.
I don't agree with the logic that he applied to the ruling. So he made two statutes completely unconstitutional, which I think was unnecessary. And so I think his decision went overboard in what I think was within the law.
He says the issue has his and Governor Mike Dunleavy's full attention, and they're seeking a stay and an appeal. He declined to say whether public money should be spent on private or religious schools. Kirby West, the Institute for Justice attorney, says they also plan to appeal to the Alaska Supreme Court. She says the state payments aren't a, quote, direct benefit in the constitutional language. They're payments that parents can spend on all manner of things.
So if the state, for example, created a program that was giving a monthly allowance to people to purchase food, no one would think, right, that is a direct benefit for Walmart or Fred Meyer or another grocery store, because the state doesn't know how people are going to spend their money. They don't know what they're going to buy or where they're going to buy it.
And she says basically the people getting the direct benefit are the parents, not private or religious schools.
How are lawmakers reacting?
So leaders in the state House and Senate say they're considering their next steps. Kendall says the solution could be simple because the constitutional issue has to do with private and religious schools. He says lawmakers could simply pass a bill that says allotments can't be used at those kinds of schools. It's early at this point, but it does have policymakers' attention. Here's House Speaker Kathy Tilton.
It will be a high priority, and again, as a caucus, we'll be talking about it as a full caucus here in the next day or two to find our path forward.
But it's a little too early at this point to say what lawmakers will do about it.
Eric, what does this mean for parents and students, and what lies ahead?
So those are both really hard questions to answer at this point. I'll say, though, that the changes, I'm not expecting them to take effect this school year. The administration says there are about 24,000 students who could be affected by the ruling. Kendall says the plaintiffs plan to seek a stay. That means putting the ruling on hold until the end of the fiscal year in June. The idea there is to not disrupt the school year. If the plaintiffs and the defense are both asking for a stay, I think it's fairly likely it'll be granted. The appeal, though, to the Alaska Supreme Court and perhaps beyond to the U.S. Supreme Court could take months or years.
Well, that was Alaska Public Media state government reporter Eric Stone. Eric, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That was Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone speaking with Casey Grove. You're listening to KTOO.